Welcome to my reservation.
I tell them, welcome to the res.
Welcome to my reservation.
I tell them,
welcome to my reservation.
That was Welcome to the Res by Red Lake rapper Thomas X. We're visiting Red Lake during this hour of Let's Visit. Let's Visit is Northern Community Radio's opportunity to take a closer look at one of the communities in our listening area. It's a way to meet some of the people there and find out some of the interesting things going on. The town of Red Lake has a population of just under 2,000. It is part of the Red Lake Indian Reservation. There are around 12,000 tribal members of the Red Lake Indian Reservation. The town of Red Lake is just about a 40-minute drive north of Bemidji. It's home to the tribal headquarters of the Red Lake Nation, as well as Red Lake Tribal College. The Red Lake Band of Ojibwe is unique. It is the only closed reservation in Minnesota. In a closed reservation, all the land is held in common by the tribe, and there is no private property. The Red Lake Band of Chippewa refused to join with six other bands in the organizing of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe back in the mid-1930s. And prior to that, the Red Lake Ojibwe negotiated to keep their resource-rich lands, as well as most of the lake that enables its people, even today, to continue many aspects of their traditional lifestyle. It is a unique place, steeped in Native pride, and after colonizers forced many of the now elders to refrain from practicing their language, Ojibwe language is intentionally being revitalized in Red Lake, and it is taking that Native pride to yet another level. I'm Katie Carter. I'll be your host for the next hour. We'll be discovering initiatives affecting Red Lake youth that are sure to have a positive impact on Red Lake's future.
Kick back, listen and chill to what I be speaking, because what I have to say to you right now is very intriguing. I'm talking about the ways of the Ojibwe people that seem to be leaving. Yes, of course, I'm talking about the seven teachings. So what are the seven teachings? Number one, respect. Respect is something that we seem to neglect, and if you take a look at the world, it's starting to have a big effect. So maybe we should all take a look in the mirror and put ourselves in check, because the world could be a lot better place if we showed each other some more respect. Number two, truth. Truth is something that I should be spitting in the booth. Truth is something that could be easy to take or harder than your tooth. Truth is something that people claim to have all the way through the roof, but it's also something they forget about when they get caught in a coup. Truth is something that we gotta learn to express. It's gotta come through our hearts and our chests, not so much through our brains when we stress. Number three, wisdom. Wisdom is something you obtain when you sit down and listen. And to obtain it, some of my natives went to college and some of my natives went to prison. To have wisdom is to know that you have a gift and a reason, and you maximize on it and utilize it all four seasons. Just know that you have a gift. Number four, honesty. Honestly, to be honest, it ain't like reading a book or learning Ebonics. It's kind of like learning to be true, to hold, and to keep your promise. To be honest is to speak from your heart and to leave your head, and you pick apart the dark and don't speak when your vision is red. Number five, humility. Humility is to be humble. And to be humble is to keep it together when everything seeming to crumble. Like you in the pitch black dark in the middle of a jungle. But when adversity comes your way, you're ready to rumble. You get up after you've been knocked down and you get up again after you tumble. Cause there's been times in my life where people tried to belittle me. And it was in those moments I had to express my humility. Number six, courage. To be courageous is to do the right thing when you have every opportunity to do what's wrong. So I gotta take the opportunity to say good things inside of my songs. I gotta talk about what's really real and what's really going on. To be courageous is to do the right thing, and you pick apart the darkness, you see the happiness the light brings. You do what's right and you find your own light. Number seven, love. Love. It ain't always a white wedding and flying doves, but it's something that we could express to each other because we have those feelings for the ones that are above. Love is something that I'm wishing to see. Love is something that the Creator gave to us unconditionally. Love is something as simple as telling your people Gije Wayne Amen when you see them. Aho, the seven teachings.
And that was Thomas X with his song, Seven Teachings. He is passionate about spreading the culture, language, and love of the Anishinaabe ways, and we'll be hearing from him later this hour when I talk with him about how he's inspiring Red Lake youth through culture and sports at the Red Lake Boys and Girls Club. The youth are central to the language and cultural revitalization efforts happening in Red Lake these days. An immersion program for kids, little kids, ages 3 and 4, is in its 6th year. I spoke with some of the organizers and teachers at a recent planning meeting at the Red Lake Tribal College.
It is really beautiful because they're so pure and innocent, and for them to say things in the language, it's like living a dream. You're hearing the kids speak again and saying things or talking about it and just picking it up. And it's like there's a story, I'm just all about stories.
Good.
Right? There's a story of a songbird.
That's a native way.
Yeah, right? There's a story of a songbird where the scientists, they said, what will happen if we discontinue that song? So they took the babies, and eventually after so many generations, that song came back. And I really believe that the innate part about our languages and our culture, they will come back. And there's some things, there's some attributes that you see within communities that they may have, the language may have been taken, but that heart and that the attributes are still passed on. We just have to recenter and realign and refocus. And but I believe that there's a lot of things that we are still doing involuntarily, you know, that are rooted to who we are. And so it's just a matter of just realigning that again.
Nate Taylor is one of the coordinators for the immersion program for 3 and 4 year olds in Red Lake. He spoke to me about how this project all got started and what it means to him.
I'm a big fan of Wade Davis. He always says that languages are the old growth forest of knowledge and wisdom, you know, where you can trace your knowledge of the stars, your knowledge of the plant world, your knowledge to the animal world.
Yeah.
There's a connection there. And if you don't have that connection, you're just flailing around and you see the depression rates and the suicide rates and, you know, all these things. So we don't want to be, we just want to be who we are and to give that to our children. And that's the overall objective and dream. In the past, we were told to forget everything about who we were. I always tell the story about in college, the guy said, I need everybody to write me a paper about your language is now banned, your culture is banned, everything about who you are is banned, but you love who you are, but you have to adapt to this new lifestyle. What do you do? You know, because you want to continue to be what grandma told me to be, what grandpa told me to be. You want to continue what we have been through eons, and you can't just throw that away, you know. And that was the hardest. I didn't write that paper. I just talked about the pain that I know my ancestors went through.
Isn't it interesting that you went to an oral tradition to handle
that
situation?
Yeah, right? I know. You know, I would say that in the sense that we have to absolutely have people know who they are. And as parents, as teachers, and as community, we all have to be on that same wavelength in giving that to them.
Mm-hmm.
What does that take? You know, that it takes a lot. It takes a lot of refocusing and a lot of communication. I came back in 2013 and we wanted to make a statement about the language. I got hooked up with Liz Strong, Sam Strong. He's now the current secretary for the tribe, but back then he was the head of economic development. And his sister was the one I met. She was doing surveys, and she had been involved with some immersion schools and whatnot. So I came on board, and we rounded up some elders, and we did a language celebration in each community where, what does it take to revitalize the language.
In each community, meaning like Panema,
yep,
Red Lake,
yep. Okay. Yep, and this was in 2013.
Okay.
And then we brought in some big names, Schroyer, Leslie Harper, that were involved with language. So why we brought them in is what we were going to find out what we needed to do to plan out an immersion school. And how that worked out was they told us this is going to take 5 years planning, one said 3 years planning. And I think at the end of that interview, we were like, let's just do it. And so, because, I mean, you can plan till you're blue in the face, but sometimes that just, You know, there's that saying that someday may never come, you know, so let's just go. And I'm glad we did that, but we got a lot of bumps and bruises along the way, where a lot of learning. I never imagined heading up a immersion school and being in charge of 3 and 4 or 4 year olds and their parents. And I just remember when I came home, I had this dream of being involved with the language, hearing it, speaking it, being around it, learning as much as I could. And I feel like there were some people that saw that ambition and that drive, and they said, well, hey, we're going to put you in charge of this school. And it went from there, you know, and it became a whole other beast. We're in our 6th year now, so.
Sylvia Fred is Nate Taylor's wife and also one of his co-collaborators in this venture. She talked to me about how awesome it is to see these kids advancing in not only their language and culture, but also in their sovereignty as individuals and as a Native nation.
A lot of the kids are in a 3rd grade now.
Okay.
Their first cohort, and there's been, since 3rd grade, so 5 cohorts come through. This will be our 6th this year. And just testimonies of how well the kids are doing. We see the parents, we keep in contact with them. We try to all the time and keep them involved in things that we put on as far as events and try to get them back and trying to get support for them. Since they're no longer with our program, they go into the school district.
Yeah.
We want to be able to provide that additional support and keep them in the loop with what's going on. We also partner with the school district through grants to help bring more language and culture activities in professional development. So a lot of the initiatives that Red Lake School District are implementing derive from this growing Native American in Schools grant, which we're on year 4 now. It's a 5-year grant. So we've been collaborating with the school district for about 4 years and just providing overall implementation of culture in the schools. And so they're really taking off with it, which is really good to see. And our partnership is still growing and we're still going to collaborate. And, because even though we can't provide for all of our kids here in Red Lake, we can set that tone in the community and in the school especially. So so we've been working hard on that. And
how many kids do you have in your class?
I think there's 17 now, but we have room for 24.
Okay.
So we're still recruiting. There's still space available. We have 12 and 12, 12 3-year-olds and 12 4-year-olds is our capacity. But we're looking for bigger and better space as far as meeting our needs as a whole staff and a whole program.
Yeah.
So we're looking to implement food sovereignty into our classrooms where we get our own, we have our own garden, we collaborate with EDP and Four Directions. So they've had their garden for 2 years now, and so they plant, maintain, and harvest, and then we canned last year some of their cucumbers, carrots, green beans, we implemented it into our family night potlucks. They're out there getting all their, trying to build that sovereign sustainability. So
yeah.
So a lot of different initiatives. Now we have Dave Manuel joining us to help teach the traditional sugar bush processes. So we're excited to just keep building those partnerships and relationships and keep growing into sovereignty in terms of culture, language, and sustainability.
Are you seeing a change in the community?
There's a lot. I mean, our immersion program isn't the only program doing language here in the community. A lot of the programs here are implementing a lot of cultural and language stuff in collaboration with some of our staff individually too, along with social media platforms. But the community has always known that language has been important. And they've always made that effort to get it into the community, get into the family.
Okay.
So I think it's just the opportunities are greater now. And it's going and kids are running around. I feel like speaking, even if it's just a word or two, that's huge because from the time they didn't to now, I mean, it's amazing. And now they have it in the school. They have it, yeah. Tribal Council supports it, trying to develop new policies, and so it's huge. It's a huge support, and Red Lake knows what needs to be done, and they've been doing it, a lot of the programs, and just coming together now is making it stronger and making it more open and well known.
We have to absolutely have people know who they are, and as parents, as teachers, and as community, we all have to be on that same wavelength in giving that to them. What does that take? You know, that it takes a lot. It takes a lot of refocusing and a lot of communication. I love it. I embraced it because it's heavy in the sense that with kids and different things, it feels like, you know why, you know, it's so hard. The language is, it's up there in the ranks of Chinese where the difficulty to learn.
Yes.
You know, but it's so beautiful once you get into that first realm of opening your eyes and seeing how our ancestors saw the world, it makes every bit of worth. So we're on this mission right now to, with our children, where we're exposing them. So it's not so foreign. So I remember that, you know, and that's what we want right now. We have to focus on the young. We absolutely have to stay on the young, because I think the older ones, they like, I'm not touching that, it's too difficult for me, you know. So you need to have the dreamers with you and tell the dream to the children. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we're focusing on. And it does get hard, it does get tiring, but we have to keep each other close, you know, and believe in each other, you know. I think that's what it takes.
Yeah.
And we're also working on expanding, and what does that mean? So
to like older kids?
Yes, yes. And stay on every child that went through our program, keeping it with them and holding on to it and the why. So there's a lot to be done. And, you know, I'm even content that a lot of this stuff won't happen in my lifetime. But that goes to that old adage, that the philosophy of, we always thought seven generations down the line as a people. So you always have to keep in mind, you know, where does this put your kids? Where does it put their kids? You know, so.
Right.
So, and then everything you do has a rippling effect. So what we're doing, you know, may spark somebody else to do something even more along the way. And it's really beautiful to see the community, since I've been here, take off with a lot more culture initiatives and a lot more things like that. And it's so beautiful to see. It's people remembering their core identity, growing the roots back into the ground. So there's more. It's trending right now. There's a lot of communities doing immersion schools, and for a little while there, we were doing consulting and going out and talking to different communities and different things like that about what our path was. But there's so many factors to that. It's demographics. It's the desire to learn it. It's the family involvement. There's so much to it.
That was Nate Taylor. He's one of the coordinators behind the immersion program at Red Lake. Three and four-year-olds are learning the Ojibwe language through the immersion program. I spoke with Franny Miller at that same meeting where I spoke with Nate. She is one of the elders in the community who is teaching the little ones the language. Ojibwe was Franny's first language, and she is so excited to be teaching it to the little ones on the reservation.
Mm-hmm. Ojibwe was your first language.
Always been my first language.
You're in the classroom?
5 days a week. No, 4 days a week.
How does it feel for you to have this actually happening finally, to have an immersion program teaching
you
the
know,
next generation?
I've been in the school setting since 1992. I started in Panima, teacher's aide to my adopted brother, the late Jerry Lee Kingbird.
Mm-hmm.
I got hired over there, and that's where I started with the language, because he said there was no teachers that taught the language
right.
Anywhere around the school system. So now I'm here.
Is it full Ojibwe in the classroom?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
So how is it? How do they, I mean, the kids, do they pretty much latch on to it pretty quickly?
Yes, they do. They pretty much understand. They pretty much speak it. And they're learning songs in Ojibwe that they're going to do for their graduation in June. Yeah, in that time frame. Yeah, they'll sing a song. And one of our teachers, she's over at the middle school, I think. She's teaching them Ojibwe songs, like the graduation song and that one, SpongeBob. They're learning that in Ojibwe.
You're kidding me.
And that's what they're going to be singing when they graduate, when they're graduating this year.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that gives them a great way to learn the language, too, because they already know the words to that song in English.
Oh, yes, they do. They know the words in English, and they're learning it pretty much in the Ojibwe language.
When you start teaching them, do you start, like, mom, dad, I mean, those kinds of words in the beginnings?
Yeah, kind of.
How do you do it?
we talk to them. That we're here to teach them the language, and we just do the basic, the real basic part of the language, because we don't want a heavy load on these kids. And I think they're learning. We have 3 and 4 year olds, and quite sometimes we combine classes, and they know what Pini Chigain means. It's time to clean up. Kisininjin means wash your hands. Anikegaboy means line up. Chigisininjin, line up to wash your hands. Namatabin is sit down. What else do we do for lunch? Oh, and then they come and ask us. Pakinamoshin means openness for me, that the milk or the juice or whatever.
Oh, and my gosh.
Yeah. So, or I teach them Kizawinimin, which means I love you. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that. There's other words that they're learning, but it's like I wrote a long time ago at the Panima school about how babies are like little sponges. They pick up the language and it soaks in.
Yeah.
You might not think it doesn't, but it does. And it's really amazing how some of these little kids pick up the language really fast. And then our former students, I'll go over to the elementary, the little school, and talk to them, ask them things like, Gigi Kendan, do you know, do you remember the language? And they'll all holler at me, call me by my Indian name, Shawan, Grandma Shawan, all that kind of, you know, it's really interesting with these little kids. And I'm glad I'm involved in this. I'm glad they hired us for this, and we need more teachers. We need more language presenters in our classrooms, and it's really interesting to watch these little kids learn. They're really picking up. When I do my prayer, they just handed me tobacco downstairs to do the good morning prayer, and always mention my babies. To carry our tradition, to carry our language. And it would be so awesome if they did. That would be the last thing I would wish for. The very last thing, that one of them will come up to me and talk to me in Ojibwe. Oh, that would be so awesome. I'm so proud of these little kids. And the ones that already graduated, they'll, Grandma Shawan. When you're leaving, they'll say "Kikawabamin," which means "I'll see you."
Yes.
I'll see you again. It's they're my life. Let's put it that way. They are my life.
That's Franny Miller. She is teaching the little children in Red Lake the Ojibwe language. We are learning about some cool stuff going on in Red Lake in this segment of Let's Visit. I'm Katie Carter, your host. Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.